Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Let's begin again. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, Fundamental Principles of Material Nature, Verse 46. Bhavanam Brahmana Stanam Dharanam Sad Visheshanam Sarva Sattva Gunobeda Prativi Vritti Lakshanam. Bhavanam Brahmanastanam Dharanam Sadvisheshanam Sarvasattva Gunodbeda Prithivi Vritti Lakshanam. Bhavanam Brahmanastanam Dharanam Sadvisheshanam Sarvasattva Gunobeda Prithivi Vritti Lakshanam. Bhavanam Brahmanastanam Dharanam Sadvisheshanam Sarvasattva Gunodbeda Prithivi Vritti Lakshanam. Okay.
Bhavanam Brahmanam Sthanam
Bhavanam Brahmanam Sthanam
Dharanam Sadvisheshanam
Dharanam Sadvisheshanam
Sarvasattva Gunodbeda Vritti Vritti Lakshanam
Bhavanam Brahmanam Sthanam
Dharanam Brahmanam Sthanam
Dharanam Sadvisheshanam
Dharanam Sadvisheshanam
Sarvasattva Gunobeda
Sarvasattva Gunobeda
Vritti
Vritti Lakshanam
Bhavanam. Modeling forms. Brahmana of the Supreme Brahman. Sthanam, constructing places of residence. Dharanam. Containing substances. Sattvisheshanam. Distinguishing the open space. Sarva. All. Sattva. Of existence. Guna. Qualities. Udbeda, the place for manifestation, Prithivi, of earth, vritti of the functions, lakshanam, the characteristics, translation, the characteristics of the functions of earth can be perceived by modeling forms of the Supreme Brahman, by constructing places of residence, by preparing pots to contain water, etc. In other words, the earth is the place of sustenance for all elements. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Different elements, such as sound, sky, air, fire, and water, can be perceived in the earth. Another feature of the earth, especially mentioned here, is that earth can manifest different forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By the statement of Kapilas, it is confirmed that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahman, has innumerable forms, which are described in the scriptures. By manipulation of earth and its products, such as stone, wood, and jewels, these forms of the Supreme Lord can be present before our eyes. When a form of Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu is manifested by presentation of a statue made of earth, it is not imaginary. The earth gives shape to the Lord's forms as described in the scriptures. In the Brahma Samhita, there is description of Lord Krishna's lands, the variegatedness of the spiritual abode, and the forms of the Lord playing a flute with his spiritual body. All these forms are described in the scriptures, and when they are thus presented, they become worshipable. They are not imaginary, as the Mayavad philosophy says. Sometimes the word bhavana is misinterpreted as imagination, but bhavana does not mean imagination. It means giving actual shape to the description of Vedic literature. Earth is the ultimate transformation of all living entities and their respective modes of material nature. Bhavanam brahmanastanam dharanam sadvisheshanam sarvasattva gunodbeda prithivi vritti lakshanam. Translation: the characteristics of the functions of earth can be perceived by modeling forms of the Supreme Brahman, by constructing places of residence, by preparing pots to contain water, etc. In other words, the earth is the place of sustenance for all elements. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharne Shatarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramunityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vrajkalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, yes, here Lord Kapila is continuing his description of the material nature. And now he's discussing the different actual elements and different sensory functions and means of perceiving different manifestations within this material world, different manifestations normally, of course, means material manifestations, but here in this verse and this purport, we're also hearing about some very spiritual manifestations, the deity forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which are manifest sometimes out of earth. And as Srila Prabhupada points out, well, actually, as Lord Kapila points out, and Prabhupada mentions, of course, in the purport, the earth, because of its materially, it's sort of like almost all-inclusive nature. It is the place of sustenance for all the other elements. All the other elements means water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, and then the senses, sense objects, and all those different details. They all find their shelter, their sustenance. Means their shelter, materially at least, in earth. It's a very comprehensive and all-inclusive type of manifestation of the material energy. Whereas others, which are more subtle, are less inclusive, or they give less, Prabhupada uses the word sustenance, they give less shelter, they give less support. Earth being the sort of strongest, heaviest, least subtle, shall we say, of the material elements. Yeah. It's able to give shelter, sustenance, support to the others which are more subtle. And we can understand that, of course, in terms of the sensory functions which are connected with each of the elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Yes. Bhumir apo nalo vayu kam. Kam. If we finish there, of course there's the subtle elements, mind, intelligence, false ego also, but if we just look at the gross, what we normally call the gross material elements, first of all, in the most subtle phase and the least sustenance giving is ether. Or here Srila Prabhupada uses the term sky, or sometimes space. The term space is used. Yeah, ether. That in ether, of all the material functions, in ether, all you can find, the only thing you can find, is sound. Sound is there. But you can't feel it, can't touch it, can't smell it, can't taste it, like this. But sound is there, and so ether, therefore, is a place, not the place, but a place of sustenance for sound. Then next is air. Sound is there. Sound travels in air, of course. But also air, you can touch air. So air is a place, not the place, but a place of sustenance for the sense of touch, for that type of sensation. Then next is fire. Fire sound is there in fire. You can touch fire. You should be very careful, of course, but you can touch fire. And you can also see fire. The air you can't see. The ether you can't see. So fire, we're becoming grosser, more heading in the direction of solidity, not actually solid, but moving in that direction, because at least it can be seen. So in this way, fire is a place of sustenance for sound, again, and for touch, and for seeing. Yes. And then next, of course, is water. And water can be, water can be tasted. Water can be tasted. So water, it can also, sound is there. It can also be felt, of course. And of course, it can also be seen. But it can also be tasted. As Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, rasoham apsu konteya, that apsu, that water, it has rasa, it has taste, a mellow taste. Yeah. Of course, it's a very subtle taste. It's so subtle, water. You can't really define the taste. Like if you drink some orange juice, you can define it. There's some sweetness, there's some sourness, and whatever, if you wanted to, you could get into it. But water, how can you define it? The taste, but it's got a taste. And that taste is one of the fundamental features of material existence. If it wasn't for the taste of water, if water really tasted bad, like some other things do, then how would we live if it was a real battle to drink water? How would we live? I remember in the early days when I first actually visited Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan in 1976 during the Mayapur Vrindavan Festival that year. At that time, in those days, there was no bottled water in India. There was nothing, you couldn't get it. In some places, not in Mayapur, but in some places, you could buy a soft drink called limca. That was the only alternative to water. Or some people on the road, they made fruit juices, that's true. But otherwise, there was water. And at our temple in Vrindavan, the Krishna Balaram temple, the water meant you had to pump by hand. You had to pump. You want to drink something, you want to take a bath, you want to do anything, you had to pump some water from a pump. And that water was salty, almost like the sea. It wasn't quite as bad as the sea. You know, the sea is just too hectic. But it wasn't too far off. It was horrible drinking that water. After you drink that water, you know what it's like if you drink salt water or if you have something salty, then you need to drink. After drinking that water, you felt you needed to drink. Oh, Krishna. Anyway, yeah, what can you do? But water, strictly speaking, in elemental terms, water means matter, which is in such a state that there is sound, it can be felt, it can be seen, and it can be tasted. You know, not that it's got some dynamic taste, but taste is there. Some taste is there. That means you've got water. And so in that way, the water is giving, as Prabhupada says, or Lord Kapila, sustenance. It's a place of sustenance, of shelter, of support for not all the elements, but various of the elements. Yes. So, but then you come to Earth, and Earth has sound, it can be seen, it can be felt, it can be seen, it can be tasted, and it has odor. Yes, it has smell. It is the abode of all smells. This is Earth. So in this way, as Lord Kapila says, and Prabhupada's explaining in the purport, Earth is the place of sustenance for all the elements and all the different functions, like sensory functions, like that. So in that sense, Earth occupies a special position amongst the other elements. It's more inclusive. In fact, it's basically all-inclusive. Yeah. And it gives sustenance and shelter in different ways. So Srila Prabhupada, in this context, it's a place of sustenance, and in this context, it gives forms. This is what Lord Kapila mentions in the verse, that earth has functions of giving forms to different things, even in a very special way. Not a material way, actually, in a very special transcendental way, although it may seem material, the earth is capable of giving forms to the Supreme Brahman, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that you wouldn't really expect, because earth is material. How can anything which is material give manifestation to something which is completely spiritual, like particularly the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the most spiritual of all spiritual manifestations. But, yes, by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the earth is even capable of doing that. And of course, as the verse, as Lord Kapila mentions, earth can, it can be utilized, perceived, by way of constructing places of residence, by making different implements, pots and things, which can contain water, etc. And can, etc. includes foodstuffs, of course. This is all possible by, you know, the perceptions, the presence of these things, and our awareness of them and perception of them is possible through earth. And therefore, in other words, the earth is the place of sustenance for all elements. But Srila Prabhupada, particularly, at least in the first part, well, actually in the whole purport, really, Srila Prabhupada is focusing on this fact that earth, by manipulation of earth, and which appears in different, which can be manipulated in different ways, then different ways, different forms, stone, wood, jewels, then the forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be present before our eyes. And yes, all these things. You get deity forms of the Lord made of different things. Stone you get, of course, marble and other stones like that, the black stones they use for deities of Krishna often, and other deities. Then wood, like Jagannath, jewels, sometimes they make deities out of jewels, sometimes they make the deities out of precious metals, gold, silver. Silver is not particularly precious, but it's a somewhat precious metal, and they make deities. You can get deities made out of silver. You know, there's that story of when Prabhupada, touring India for the first time with disciples, there was this one young girl, Saraswati, the daughter of Mother Malati and Shamsunda Prabhu. And she, this little Saraswati, she's only like, I don't know, 2 or 3 or something. I'm sure less than 4. Anyway, she was, whatever she was very young. And she was touring with Prabhupada and her parents and a group of other devotees. And Srila Prabhupada did a program in one place. And the host gave, as a type of dakshin or gift, gave Srila Prabhupada a deity of Krishna made of silver, solid silver, small deity. And of course, you know, the fact that a deity is made of silver doesn't necessarily mean that it has more importance than a deity made of brass, for example. Prabhupada was traveling at that time with little Radha Govinda. Small deities like that, so which he had been worshipping for some time, so he preferred to carry on worshipping those deities than worship this deity of Krishna who was silver and who was on his own, even though, you know, in a certain sense the deity was more valuable. So what he did, Srila Prabhupada gave the silver deity to Saraswati, the little girl. She was born, gosh, I don't know. She might have been 4, actually. But she was preschool. And Prabhupada gave her the deity, and she became very attached to the deity. But one day, as children do, even though children, sometimes they're very attached to something, but then something else catches their attention and they just leave whatever the other thing was. So Saraswati, she just put Krishna down and went for something else at some point, even though otherwise she was very attached to Krishna. And someone, one of the devotees, found Krishna just sort of lying somewhere. And picked Krishna up and gave Krishna back to Prabhupada. Then after a little while, Saraswati realized, hey, wait a minute, Krishna, where's Krishna? And so she's running around asking everyone, where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? And many of the devotees didn't know where's Krishna, meaning that deity. But this one devotee knew, maybe the mother, but I forget who exactly, but one devotee knew, the devotee who had given Krishna to Prabhupada. And Saraswati came running up to that devotee. Where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? And the devotee was, anyway, the devotee said to Saraswati in a sort of knowing way, who has Krishna, Saraswati? Who has Krishna? Who has Krishna? And Saraswati thought, and she said, Prabhupada has Krishna. Meaning, Prabhupada, as a pure devotee, he has Krishna. Prabhupada has Krishna. And she came just running in to Prabhupada's room. No obeisances, no nothing. Prabhupada, where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? And Prabhupada hid Krishna behind his back. And she was just climbing over him. Where's Krishna? And he pulled out Krishna and gave her Krishna. There's an article about her, and I think it's the most recent Back to Godhead I just saw a couple of days ago. All right, so anyway, but the thing is, it's made of silver, but silver is a form, a state of earth. You know, they're different derivative forms of earth. It's not just there's one thing called earth. An example, salt water means it's water. It's water, like classic water. But there is some earth mixed with it. Because salt is a type of manifestation of, you know, some feature or aspect of earth, like that. Or like blood. Blood is water, you know, it's liquid, it has that natural characteristic of water, but then it's got all the whatever, you know, the redness at least, which is earth. Yeah. So these elements, in this case, of course, we're talking particularly about earth. But earth, even though it's a material element, because it's the energy of the Lord, and the Lord is so special, and everything coming from the Lord is so special, it's so special that you can manifest forms of the Lord from it. And they are real. The Lord is there. They're not just some imaginary representation. Yeah, that we just say that, oh, well, you know, we will accept this as God, but actually it's not. It's just some material thing, whatever it might be. The Lord is actually present in the earth. In fact, that's how wonderful these elements are as energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that the Lord is willing to accept those elements and appear as forms in those elements, you know, like particularly here, earth. Of course, sound, the Lord appears in sound, anyway, like this. And it's not imagination. It's not just attributing some quality to something artificially, which that thing does not have that quality. You know, sometimes we give the example, I'm sure some of you have heard us give the example of a husband and wife early in the morning, husband's leaving for work, and the wife asks, what would you like to eat this evening? Supper or dinner or whatever. And so, you know, they decide, okay, we will have X something, whatever it is. Let's just say, as we normally do, what would you say? I won't say beans.
That's funny.
I didn't say it. Okay, let's have, let's have, just cauliflower sabji with roti. Okay. So then the husband, so that's agreed. Then the husband goes to work, but at work he changes his mind. And he thinks, you know, I've had so much cauliflower and roti. I know what I want. I want butter paneer. I'll have butter paneer with some nice pulao rice. So on his desk, as a faithful husband, he's got a photo of his wife. So he tells the photo, "My dear wife, I don't want cauliflower and roti. Please make butter paneer and nice pulao, nice fancy rice I'll have tonight." Okay. He's speaking to the photo. And he comes back in the evening, and what does he get? Take a guess. He gets cauliflower and roti. And then he says to his wife, "But wait a minute, I told you, I don't want that. I want butter paneer and rice. I told your picture in the office." So you see, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so amazing. Now, he can take a form as a picture also, which is also a transformation of earth, you know, these photographs or a painting. These things are transformations of earth also. So he can, there can be a transformation of earth, and he can be in it. And therefore, like, and even the great devotees for that matter, as Raghunath Bhattaprabhu was saying the other, night before last, was it? Yeah, right, Wednesday night. No, you can come, you can pray to Prabhupada. You can speak to Prabhupada. We may not be on the level on which you can hear the reply, but a reply can be there. Reply in the sense of some intervention in our lives. If we speak a prayer, even if we just think a prayer. Because these great transcendental personalities, even though they do take forms of earth in one way or another. Fiberglass means a transformation. It's a form of earth. But the Lord and the very elevated persons, they can actually appear personally there. This is how wonderful the Lord is. And because the Lord is so wonderful, this is how wonderful his energies can be. Not that they're always like that, but can be. And it's not imagination. It's not imagination. When you speak or even just think, "Oh my dear Srila Prabhupada, please help me in some way or another," then he hears. And whether he intervenes as you have asked or not, that's up to him. But he does sometimes. He definitely does. And it's not imagination. Just some fanatical sort of hallucination. It's a real, tangible, practical relationship. Yes. So, yeah. And the term Prabhupada concludes the purport by referring to the first word of the Sanskrit, bhavana. You know, as with many Sanskrit words, the word bhavana has a few meanings. It can mean imagination, it can mean attitude, mood, like this, yeah, nature. But it doesn't have to just mean that sort of just simply mental type of phenomenon. It can mean actually giving shape to descriptions, authentic descriptions from Vedic literature, yeah, giving shape in the form of deities. Therefore, earth is very special, and we should appreciate it. Yeah. It's important to develop our appreciation, just in general, in life, in Krishna consciousness. We have to learn appreciation and learn how to increase it. Because from appreciation comes like real attachment, gratitude, and then the desire to reciprocate. And then when one reciprocates, having received some mercy, which one appreciated one's good fortune for receiving, and then one became grateful for, then there's a whole relationship that develops in devotional service. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.